You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
So, yes, you heard correctly. Tim, Matt and myself will be sharing with you tonight about standing up for our faith. We'll each address, I guess, different areas of that topic. The reason why we chose this topic tonight was because we see it as something that is of ongoing importance in the Christian life. You look at our country and, you know, we were once a very Christian nation, and we look at it today and we barely see, like, fragments of that strong foundation that we once had. So we see it as something that's truly important for the future and today, which is the future. So if you look at it, like, either way, whether you think about it or not, we stand for something. But my question is, what are we standing for? Are we standing by? Are we watching the enemy corrupt and deceive, the world? Or are we standing up using the name of Christ to defeat the enemy's works and allow God to just release his fulfillment and intended purposes and love into each individual? I don't ask this as a question of judgment, but like a question of like desperation, because it's important. We see it as important. And today, I think we live in a world that is becoming increasingly ignorant about the power and goodness of God. And, like, I don't just talk about non-Christians, but I talk about Christians as well. And, like, if you don't believe me, well, I think I'm one of them, so believe me. but tonight, yeah, I would like to talk about comfort versus courage. Often we are met with a situation that may require us to talk about our faith or our morals or our views on relationships or even just talk about how we spent our weekend. And we can be faced with fear. Fear of what a person might think about us, how they will react if they think that we're judging them or offending them with our faith. And sometimes we can find ourselves forced to just conform to usual pattern of society and just compromise ourselves, compromise our faith and just keep the peace and, you know, to try and keep within that circle of normality. We find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation and it's like we just basically just flat out lie to ourselves and what we know is true, and we just deny our faith and deny God. But, like, we know this isn't correct, right? We do know that, and we know it, but yet, I mean, it's difficult to stand up for your faith, but we know that this isn't what God wants. Like, he wants us to be free in talking about, you know, things like our weekend. What did you get up to on the weekend? I went to church. Do we say that? We should feel free to talk about, you know, our faith and our morals. And most of all, we should feel free to say the name of Jesus, you know, outside the church doors. That can be really difficult. And it's crazy sometimes we treat Jesus' name like a swear word. You know, we probably don't use it as a curse, but we treat it like a curse. Like, you just don't say it. You don't say it outside church because, you know, it opens up conversation that maybe we're not comfortable about having. Yet, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown my Father in heaven. Disown before my Father in heaven. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, that's a pretty heavy scripture. And I think sometimes we sort of overlook it because we think God is a gracious God. And, you know, he won't disown us. But, like, I think Matthew knew what he was talking about. And if you believe that the Bible's true, I guess that scripture is true as well. And so it's very confronting and it's a real heavy scripture. But, you know, you look at Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. And what happened after he denied Jesus 3 times? The rooster crowed. Imagine if every time we deny Jesus, a rooster crowed. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure it would just send shivers down my spine. Like, having that, you know, it's like far out. Like, what did I just do? Yeah, it would send shivers down my spine. And, like, how many times would it happen in a week? How many times would it happen in a month? You know, it's pretty confronting. And, you know, I guess, I don't know, God is gracious because he doesn't let that happen. But I think we need to face the truth and reality that we just may never be comfortable standing up for our faith. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. And I'll talk more about that in a second, but For those of you who don't know me, I'm studying at Harvest Bible College, and it's always an interesting conversation at work sometimes when you meet a new person, you know, sort of get to know each other and you get asked the question, what are you studying? And I kind of snicker to myself, like, well, I study at Harvest Bible College, and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, you know, like ministry subjects, theology, stuff to do with church. And like, I often wonder what their first thoughts are, like Harvest Bible College, and like, they think, she studied at a farm? Like, what is she? Like, learning how to sow seeds, or what is that? Yes, I do. This one conversation I had with a girl the other week, and I was like telling her about it, about college and stuff, and she was like, so you're like really religious. And I was like, no, I'm Christian, haha. But like, the point is, like, it's always a bit awkward, it's always a little bit uncomfortable, but like, I'm getting used to it, you know. It's a conversation I've had quite a bit, and I'm getting used to it just gradually, slowly. And, you know, some, like, yeah, standing up for your faith, standing up for Jesus, being true to yourself, it's not always comfortable, but I think comfort shouldn't be what we seek for in those times. So this brings me to courage. That is what we should seek for when we come to a time where we must stand up for our faith. So what does the Bible say about it? In Acts 4:31, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God with freedom, boldness, and courage. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Scripture I was supposed to read before, but I didn't. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Like, that right there, like, God is with us. He gives us courage. And, like, it's so difficult because you think that would be enough, but then when it gets to the point, it's just like, oh, I don't know, like, we put so much before it. But like I said, like, God is more interested in our character than our comfort. There's a cool quote that goes like this: "Courage is the mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Where there is no struggle, there is no strength." So courage, like, it's not a magical power. Like, you know, you sometimes just wish, woo, bada-bing, and, you know, you get this courage that can just sort of overcome all fear, and you can just, you know, speak the name of Jesus, you know, before people and just baptize them right there and get it going. But, like, I really believe that we have to prepare ourselves, and we have to train, we have to fail a few times. You know, we have to get embarrassed, you know, just to sort of, you know, like I said, where there is no struggle, there is no strength. Like, just learn that, you know, that's life. And sometimes we think, oh, struggle, you know, I don't want to do that. But, I mean, that's life. And if we're doing it for a worthy cause, is it worth it? I mean, do we see Jesus as a worthy cause? You know, I think of, like, a soldier, when they get thrown into battle, it's not just they get thrown into battle, but they've had years of training before them where they've built up for that day, and they've built up, you know, to that point where they can be on the front line of battle and just be like, all right, let's do this. So it's the same for us as Christians. Prayer, reading the Bible, being in relationship with God, walking every day with Him, relying on Him, depending on Him, like, those are the keys for a courageous, like, for being a courageous Christian, being secure in our God. And, like, you know, it's so challenging. Even reading this right now, I'm just, like, far out, like, can I say that on stage? Sorry. I said it twice now. Yeah, it's difficult. Like, it is really difficult. Like, Matt, Tim and I, we're not standing up here saying that we're perfect at this. Like, it's like, speaking right now, like, I'm so uncomfortable right now. But, like, but, you know, like, you just got to do it. Our God is the God of all encouragement. Encouragement. And with Him, it becomes easy to be courageous. I saw this post on Facebook. Rick Warren, an American pastor and author, he said, "Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. So the second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate." How true is that? It's really true. And, you know, we think, like, to get along with someone, you just have to agree with everything they do and just laugh at everything that they say. You know, just keep the peace, keep the fun. But, you know, the opposite to disagree with them is just to fear them and avoid them. But, I mean, like what the guy said, huge lies. You can still love someone, stand up for what is true, what is the only true thing in this world, Jesus Christ, and you can still love them and be a light to them. So just before I pass it on to Tim, just to repeat those scriptures, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. And Joshua 9, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So don't wait for comfort. God has given us courage. And like the people in Acts, you know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. So let's be courageous Christians and let's just do what we can where we are with what we have. Thanks, Tim.
I want to start by focusing on one of those verses that Julia used as well. I'll just read the whole passage to start. That comes from Mark 8, verse 34 to 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Now, I, like Julia, find this a pretty confronting verse, and I guess I want to start just by thinking about what it means when Jesus said that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And he asked his disciples to, and he has asked every disciple since that to, I guess, become a Christian, we have to give him our thoughtful and total commitment, and nothing less than that will do. And I guess we give up the right to our own self, submit our will, our desires, our wants, and our entire character to God, and try to mould ourselves upon who he wants us to be. Like, the old has passed away, and we've become new creations in accordance with God's will. This is where we find our true self and true identity in Christ. Jesus' sacrifice made this possible, and our response is to give everything up back to him and for him. So giving up our lives isn't just about saying a prayer and saying, "Oh yeah, I am a Christian because I believe that Jesus did die and I believe in the power that he has for me." But I think it's more of an active commitment that we have to make. It's actually a response with a full commitment to him, not just saying it through our words. So we can't accept Jesus' sacrifice and just enjoy the benefits without taking upon the challenge that we have as well. And that's the challenge of making him God of our lives, which I think is a pretty scary thought in itself. And I guess we can skim over that, but it's actually a pretty big thing to do in practicality. When we do this, we put our lives and our goals, career, relationship, everything in our lives under his control. And it's our duty to find out what God's will is for us and what we're supposed to do for him. So we have to be open to the possibility of a change in our lives, and it can be pretty confronting, but it is ultimately rewarding. And I suppose below the line in our present physical world, the changes that we make and what we do in that can be pretty confronting, and I suppose the consequences can be pretty bad for us now, but if we focus upon above the line and the eternal promises that we have, it's all really worth it if we do actually try to transform ourselves into the characters that God would have us be. So when we do this, we're rewarded with a crown of righteousness and our salvation is assured. Jesus was open to saying that he had a demand as well as an offer. If he offered men his salvation, he also requires that we submit to him fully. And I think sometimes we can test our faith and think, yeah, we're sort of Christian because we can, you know, stand up in this. And the courage thing was really important. And I wanted to focus a bit about persecution, and I think we got it pretty easy here for the time being at least. And I sometimes compare the church that we have here to, like, say, a country like Nigeria, where people go to church there, they're often at risk of being bombed or attacked or something like that. And for them, being a Christian is like a risk, like they're taking a risk with their whole life. And I think we're not faced with that risk, but I suppose all we have is just sort of like this attitude shift against us, or, you know, a few insults and stuff, and we actually have a great opportunity to move in that, and we should take that opportunity. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Likewise, Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And immediately after that, Jesus talks about how we are to be salt and light in the earth, and which that's a pretty big challenge in itself. It's important to see that Jesus said that we would be despised because of him, and he knew it would happen, and we should expect that as well. We shouldn't be surprised when it does happen. We can't just fold under that pressure, though, when the going gets tough. We need to actually stand up and be courageous in that. Our allegiance is to God first, and we need to speak the whole gospel and live that out in our lives, not just the parts that we like or that sound nice to us. So we are going to cop some criticism in doing so, or at the very least be the target of a few jokes. I mean, the youth, like, I know for myself, you often have peer pressure, and I know, like, the party culture of today, and I suppose there's always those pressures around us to do the stuff that other people do, and you cop a bit of flack from your friends even, just for not engaging in that kind of stuff, you know, drinking and whatever. But I suppose if we're true to ourselves and true to the character that God would have us be, our rewards in heaven are going to be way better than any kind of consequence that we can face here on earth. So again, we have to remember that our lives are a sacrifice to God, and we are to please God and not men. And I loved what Nick said recently when she was talking about Paul and Silas in jail when they were in prison, and when they had those circumstances, which were obviously a lot worse than the circumstance I just put forward, they faced that with praise, and they were actually thankful for what they did have with God, and they were focused upon the eternal promises that we had in Jesus Christ, and we have to remember that. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts." Now, under persecution, obviously, the challenge is, I suppose, even speaking out about our faith at all and to have that courage. And considering that same verse from Mark, I'll just focus on verse 38 here and repeat that. It says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Sorry. And now this verse also serves as a warning for us, I think, in that as Christians, we can't just be undercover Christians and just sort of staying quiet on the issues. I mean, we sang "With Everything," and we sang, what was the first line of that? How does it go? "Open our hearts." Yeah, open our eyes to see the things that make your heart cry. And sometimes we can be completely insensitive to the things, or sort of shut ourselves off from the things that God cares about. But I think we should try to soften ourselves up and kind of embrace that as well and speak out on those things. So we can't just claim to be Christian and continue to live the life like we did before, but we need to stand up on these things. Guy by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I struggle with the name, he says, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." So we have to be bold and proclaim Jesus' gospel to the world. Part of our job description is to make disciples for God and helping each other grow. And though it is our faith in God that saves us, our faith has to be an active one that produces fruit. Faith without works itself is dead. And Matthew 7:16 says that by their fruit you will recognize them. So if we're not producing fruit, I think we need to challenge ourselves and judge where we really are at the moment. I think we need to challenge ourselves and either stand and proclaim Jesus in our lives and our faith needs to be an active one, or we deny that. Our faith has to produce fruit, and there is no real middle ground between either proclaiming Christ and denying. We can't just sort of be in between there. And Revelation 3:15-16 emphasizes that. It says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth." And that itself scares me every so often, because, you know, I can sort of just cruise along for a while. And I think often we can compare ourselves to those who reject the word of God completely and think, oh, we sort of got it together, or even like amongst youth and church, and we think, oh, they're doing this and that, and I'm sort of cruising along. I believe that stuff that they do, and I think I'm a Christian because of that. But I think we need to try to mold ourselves not on the people around us that we think are Christian, but on God's word, which is like a whole step above that, and it's much harder to actually try to conform to that completely. So it's not enough just to believe that God's sacrifice is true and accept it. We have to. We can't be apathetic and like uncaring towards it. We can't just treat it with contempt sometimes. I think we need to respond actively, not passively, and to know of God's love and Jesus' sacrifice at a personal level, yet have no change in our life or attitude, I think is worse than not caring or just ignoring it completely, which I think is what the Revelation verse is saying there. So I think it's just really important, and I really want to re-emphasize the fact that if we do know Christ at a personal level, let's be softened up and let's like have that courage to stand up on it because we care about the love that God had for us, and because of that love, we can love Christ back and, I suppose, present our lives as a sacrifice for him. So I'll hand over to Maddie, who's got some pretty good stories about that as well in his own life.
Hey, guys. Wow, that kind of sucks. I was hoping one of them would stuff up so I wouldn't look so bad. I'm Matt Vincent. Standing up for your faith. Wow, that's a hard one, isn't it? It's a hard one to hit on the head, I reckon, for a lot of people. It's a struggle to stand up their faith with a daily walk for God. I've got the same verse as Julia as well, Matt 10:32-33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. I think this verse is just really shows us how important it is to stand up for our faith for God. In preparing for tonight, I was really challenged in my own thinking. It's not about always about the wow factor or the big things that we think we're called for to do for Christ, but it's just about doing those basics, those everyday sort of things. Simply being honest with people about the fact that we go to church, we love God, and Christians can open the doors for God to move in people's lives. On a Monday morning, the standard issue questions start to pop up. How was your weekend? Most of the answers are, yeah, it was all right. Or, did you get up too much? No, not really. Went to a party, played footy, did some homework, or for the oldies, potted around the garden. How often do we forget about the God things? We forget about mentioning the fact that we went to church or we went to youth. I, for myself, church is a big part of my weekend, and probably yours too. Why does it get dropped off the radar when it comes around to Monday? Really, when I'm asked about this question, I should be saying, Friday I went to youth, which was awesome. Sunday morning I went to church and the praise and worship was incredible. And Sunday night church, well, the message was really good. What I'm trying to say with this is that by simply being honest with your friends that you went to church or to youth on the weekend can open up the doors for God to start moving. And if we have an incredible experience with God at youth or church, then let's mention it. Let's say that in our weekend talk and things like that. Say that the message at church was exactly what we needed. Mention to the people about praise and worship was incredible and we got lots out of it. 1 Peter 3:13-15 says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats or do not be frightened. But if your hearts revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect." Our honesty can lead to a conversation about God. Really, we'll never be faced with those sort of conversations if we never put ourselves out there. This brings me back to some of my mates. When I decided to give my life back to God, I also decided that I'll change my life from being party Matt to church Matt. I was really, really worried that all of my mates back then, most of them were non-Christians, would think, they would start to bag me or, something's wrong with me because I'm becoming a Christian. And at the start, I just thought, it'll be easy if I just keep my Christianity to myself and, I'll just go to church and my relationship with God is just sort of a private based thing. God had different ideas. God gave me the courage to tell my mates one day that I was going to church and that I loved it and that I told them I wanted to get back into church and grow my faith and told them I wanted to back off from the partying and just really build my faith again in God. Most of them, I was really worried that they would, laugh at me and things like that and not be mates with me again. Most of them actually laughed at me, not because I was becoming a Christian or, I was pushing back into my faith, but the thought that I would not be their mates again or, something like that. God really showed me that even though I was a Christian, I didn't have to lose my non-Christian mates. I just simply had to stand up for him. Often they would stay at my house on a Saturday night, but I always made the effort and got in the habits of getting up Sunday morning and making it to church, and I didn't ever hide it from them. They learned to respect it, and after a while they'd even get annoyed at me if I slacked off. In some ways, those boys pushed me towards God more than they probably know. One day I really threw it out to them and invited them to LMC Youth and Young Adults Camp. They ended up coming and loved it. I was so stoked. By the end of the camp, they were getting into the praise and worship and singing the songs and listening to the sermons that were given on the camp. It's been 2 years now since that camp, and most of the guys that came on that camp have no relationship with God. Sometimes I get upset about this, but I have learnt to stand on the fact that I obeyed God and did what he asked of me. I stood up for him, even though it was difficult. I'm still hoping and praying for another chance to let God work in their lives. But for now, I'm trusting in the fact that God's got it covered and he knows what he's doing. This is the first time that I ever stood up for my faith. It actually wasn't that hard, and to be honest, where I was at with God was the best thing that I ever did. I think that we're all a bunch of complication heads, and we overcomplicate what it means to stand up for your faith. Tonight, I want to leave you with a thought that standing up for your faith is simply just doing the basics. We need to be honest and open about how we love God, why we go to church or youth, and to be honest with people about the experiences we have with God and what God is doing in our lives. That will give room for God to plant seeds himself. Also remember what Julia said, to step outside of our comfort zones and to just have the courage to stand up for your faith. God will never leave you. And Tim said, take up your cross each day, stand under persecution, and come out of the closet and be open and be bold. God will be with you at all times. It's up to God now to take the next step in our lives. So that's all I had. I'll just pray if you guys are all good with that. If you just want to stand up, I reckon, let's stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now for all of us here, Father. I just pray that in one way or another we've been challenged from the messages or the praise and worship tonight, Father. Lord, just come Monday morning, Father, that we have different answers for questions that we are asked from our non-Christian or work colleagues. Lord, let us just be bold, be courageous for you at all times, Father. Let us take up that cross like you have asked us to. Bring others to your door, Lord. And Father, I just pray this in Jesus' name, and I just pray that everyone has an amazing rest of the night and a good week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.